What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
At somebody and then not show up. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a Friday edition of the show, guys. And B-Mac stopped by last hour to talk all things NFL. He was talking about, our situation with Drake London. And it's funny because, Mike, as we discuss, the quarterback situation, and of course that's right. Still front and center, and it will be. There'll be no resolution to this, I don't believe. And I don't think Kevin Stefanski, even when we're in camp, he's not going to come out in the second day of camp and go, my starter is. He's not going
to
do that.
But it's funny how, like, when we only have small pieces of information to react to, whether it's us and you guys, because you guys, believe me, we had a man dancing at his wedding. He's healed. We had guys out there. No, he's doing a little side lateral movement on a dance floor. That's not exactly a five-step drop and throw it at 50 yards accurately. But then again, then we had guys, it was like, oh, here we go. When Stefanski said, accuracy. And that level of accuracy is a God-given talent.
It's a big compliment.
And I think Carl said, did you hear the man? God-given talent. You must have said God-given talent like 10 times that day.
It's a big compliment.
But that's all we got. It's all we got until eventually when we're up at practice. It'll be interesting. I think where this may, if they're not, we don't know if they're going to play these guys in preseason games.
Uh-uh.
What may be the real tell, and maybe we have to lobby Mike Conti to get us up to Indy, is that that Colts joint practice.
True.
Where some stuff might get,
revealed.
Who's the man?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Because those joint practices have become so important in the league, where you are willing to do things in those joint practices, and it's controlled. Coaches know, hey, we're going to work on this, this, and this. I want to see how my guy reacts to doing this. And then, they lay it out, but you're going full speed, and now you're trying to make plays. That's different than these BS practices where guys are rolling around and you guys are wide open and 7-on-7.
People are analyzing a wide open pass where there's no pressure, nobody in his face.
Yeah.
If we do go back to Indy, and we love Twin Peaks, I've told you a million times, they got this old bar, they got two of them up there. Maybe you've seen it, Kilroy's, where they do breadsticks infused with mozzarella and pepperoni. And they literally put a stick of butter on top of the thing. I mean, you walk out of there and you feel your arteries hardening. But, we've got the cheese balls here at Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I mean, which
and
I
you
love.
Guys have devoured them.
They're the best. They're basically cheap mozzarella balls. I say cheese, mozzarella bites. I say, give me the cheese balls. And the girl's like, what? But cheese curds, I ate in Indianapolis, there was either something fried or double fried with cheese.
Yeah.
Every meal.
They
love it up there.
They do love it up there. I do love and I miss Murph's. Cheese curds as well. Murph, they're doing the construction or the remodeling over there at Cobb Parkway. But once it reopens, that's the one thing I do miss.
We all agree. Cheese curds. Fried cheese. It's what's for lunch.
It is. Hey, man, hit us up 404-726-0929. We got a lot more to get to, including a chance for you to win. Today is our final day, guys, for your opportunity to win that staycation comfort giveaway from Reliable Heating and Air, which includes a $150 gas card. Who doesn't need that? $150 grocery gift card and a free cooling system tune-up, all compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. So stay tuned. Mike and I will give that away before we get out of here at 6.
While we're waiting on our man, Sam Mitchell, I was talking about, he's ready to go? He's good to go. Let's, without any further ado.
Yeah, man. Sam, word on the street is you might be a little bit upset at your boys here, Dukes and Bell.
What did we do?
Exactly. What did we do?
Well, it's what y'all don't do. Y'all don't talk about what's true. Y'all sitting at the best conversation y'all have had is talking about damn food. Cheese curds and getting fat.
Well, food is our specialty.
That's our wheelhouse. You know zone defense. We know food.
It's our specialty. Sam, let's talk about game two.
No, guys, I've been listening to you guys for the last few weeks, and I think you guys are spot on with a lot of things, but my biggest thing with this series, and what I don't understand, is people can't see the difference in the teams. The Knicks are just constructed better. They're a better team right now.
Mm. So here's the question, because it's interesting. You say that, and everybody goes, wait a minute, San Antonio won 62 games. They got home court in the finals. Explain that, Sam. What do you mean when you say they're constructed better? Why? How does that affect the Spurs?
Think about this. Victor has not had to guard anybody. He's never had to guard a primary offensive guy in the playoffs thus far. He's got a guard call after town. Carl will get 30. He's an offensive guy. He wants to score. So that, and Carl's a 40% three-point shooter. So he's going to draw Victor away from the basket. Then next, the Spurs start three guards. The reason they were able to beat OKC, because OKC played a lot of three-guard lineups. Well, Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, the last time I checked, OG 6'9", 245, and Mikal Bridges 6'6", 215, 220. They're long, right. They're athletic. And more importantly, they're skilled. So not only can they guard, they can take you off the dribble, they can shoot the three. And then you got Mitchell Robinson who can come in the game for 17, 20 minutes and just beat the crap out of you. And then look at the bench. And then look at Josh Hart. And then last but not least, guys, we keep talking about Jalen Brunson like he's a scrub. We better start putting some respect, and myself included.
Right.
Jalen Brunson is showing us he's one of the best top five players or top six players in this league today. You know, you can make the argument. Right now, Jalen Brunson better than Steph Curry. Who would you rather have, Steph Curry or Jalen Brunson right now?
It's a good point, right?
When you look at all of those things, and then you look at the Knicks, their improvement on defense, they run a much better offense. All San Antonio and OKC do is play one-on-one basketball to break you down and try to start that chain reaction.
New York runs corner offense.
They run flex. They run all kind of stuff to get easy baskets. So, to me, the Knicks constructed better, and they're a better basketball team, and they're presenting challenges to San Antonio that they have yet to experience in the playoffs.
So what do you do? I mean, we talked about Wemby and a shot selection. Did you feel, Sam, that Wemby was just fatigued? He was settling for jump shots? Or does he need to play close to the basket, take it to the rack?
Guys, how you going to get close to the basket when you get close to the basket? It's to the Carl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson advantage. They can beat the crap out of them. Look, this is what I think. The only way San Antonio can win this series or have a chance, they got to play Victor at the four. He's not a five. We never played Kevin Garnett at the five, even though he was 7 foot tall. We played him at the 3-4. Why? He don't have enough junk in the trunk to get beat up down in the paint like he's getting beat up. He is getting housed in the paint. But I promise you, if you put him at the four, put Cornette or Plumlee out there, let them get beat up, let them do bruise the people, let them rebound. Wouldn't you like to see Victor out in transition, rim running, head man, somebody head manning the ball to him? Can you imagine him in space, what he would do? So I still believe we've yet to see the best of Victor because – he's not being played at the right position right now.
How much do you put on Mitch Johnson, the Spurs head coach? I thought his substitutions were terrible, Sam. And look, you don't have to be a basketball head to just know I got the sixth man of the year on my team. This kid's been balling all year, and the kid played 8 minutes. I see Dylan Harper, unstoppable. They don't have an answer for him. And you got De'Aaron Fox in the game. How much of this is on Mitch Johnson?
But, guys, this is the problem. When you put them other guys in the game, who going to dribble? Did you see the last time De'Aaron Fox didn't play and one of them other guys had to run the point? 11 turnovers. So I hear what y'all are saying, but Mitch Johnson got a problem. They need De'Aaron Fox to be healthy. You can see, because he can run the show. He can beat people off the dribble. He can break Jalen Brunson down. He's just a shell of himself. But, guys, you can't put the ball in them other guys' hands. They had freaking it. One guy had 11 turnovers in the playoffs. So, again, if you're going to do this, and I understand the difficulty Mitch is having, he's made it to the NBA Finals playing this way. It's hard to change. But what got you to this point may not get you over the hump and get you a ring. You have to look at this objectively and say, okay, playing this way with this lineup and this rotation got us to the Finals. But the Knicks is a team that we haven't seen before. They started a different – They create problems that we haven't experienced. Victor hasn't had to guard anybody as a primary scorer in the playoffs yet. Now, all of a sudden, if he leaves Carl Anthony Towns, Carl Anthony Towns is going to let it fly. And if he comes out of control, Carl Anthony Towns will take him off the dribble.
Feel like I'm going to put money line on the Knicks tonight with Sam Mitchell.
Look, I took the Knicks in six. But if San Antonio keep playing like this, it's going to be over in five.
Hey, man, my dad's up in heaven with Dave DeBuscher smoking a cigar, loving what Sam Mitchell is saying right now on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. And by the way, Jalen Brunson, you know, the toughness of the guy. You said, let's stop calling him a scrub. You know, like he was pinged this way, he was pinged that way. The dude just finds a way. How impressed were you that, first off, the floater, then that three-point shot?
Man, Jalen Brunson's real deal. His footwork is second to none, but you just said it, Mike. His mental makeup, is as good as anyone we've ever seen. You can put him in that category with Jordan and all them guys when you start talking about mentally how those guys perform under pressure. And think about this. I thought the Knicks as a team didn't play well. I thought the guy that played the most consistent was Karl-Anthony Towns. God, they didn't play well and won by 10 and was down by 14 and never panicked. It's like they knew, once we shake off the rough, we're going to win. So think about the confidence they have. Mitch Johnson, he's sitting there trying to figure out what to do on the fly because he hadn't seen a team like this in the playoffs constructed the way the Knicks. And so, again, he's going to have to think about altering his lineup, playing some different combination and different guys. But it ain't going to get done playing Victor at the center position the whole time.
Hmm. Sam Mitchell, our guest, guys, he is on NBA Sirius XM. He does all kinds of appearances and calls NBA games as well. He is also former coach of the year in the NBA and played a very long time. Sam, let me ask you about Rick Brunson. How much is that helping not only his son, but what is Rick's role? Because it feels like it's very influential on that bench.
Look, guys, I think when you look at Rick, Rick is just an assistant coach. I think Rick got one voice. Yeah, he's not the lead assistant. And I think people are looking at that too much. Mike Brown knows what he's doing, guys. Mike Brown been coach of the year twice. This is fourth head coaching job. Mike Brown is on the trajectory. If he wins a championship, guys, with two NBA coaches of the year, Mike Brown is a Hall of Fame coach.
Mm.
If you start thinking about the people in the Hall of Fame as coaches, how many guys with a championship ring and been two-time coach of the year and have coached the players, the great players that he have coached? So we better start looking at Mike Brown a little bit different. But guys, I just think this is all about the Knicks right now. There's nothing standing. San Antonio, to me, only hope is they got to alter and change their lineup a little bit. And if they're going to keep playing Victor at the five and leave them 3 7-footers sitting on the bench, This series is not going to go long.
But the only thing, Sam, the Knicks did wrong last night, I said to Carl, was the tempo early, how they seemed to really rush and force things on the offensive side, and then they seemed like they got in a rhythm later. And that was all on themselves. It wasn't like the Spurs were dictating.
Well, that was rough. That was rough. Yeah. Guys, you ain't played in 9 days. And one thing about us NBA players, we'd rather play every other day because we get in the groove. Because guess what? If we play every other day, guess what we don't have to do? We don't have to freaking practice, man. We don't want to, like, Allen Iverson practice. Man, I ain't trying to practice after no 110 games. Right? All I'm trying to do is get loose and go play. And every other day keeps you in your rhythm to where you don't have to worry about practicing. And so NBA players, we're conditioned to play every other day. We don't like long layoffs. But, again, I'd rather have the rest compared to the rust because, again, think if De'Aaron Fox would have had 9 days to rest that ankle. We might be seeing something different. Yes.
Yeah. Big difference. All right, man. We're going to let you go. I'm thinking of I heard little birdie told me you might be hitting the ball today. Is that true?
Oh, yes, sir. This is my last day of playing golf in a wild card. As I told you, my company, Consultex, where I'm an executive director, we're getting ready to release a sports app. We're starting in basketball. It's going to be in every sport, and it's going to be in different languages. But we're going to give every kid their own AI coach, academic advisor, and tutor. Everything that I had at my disposal as an NBA player, they're going to have on this app. They're going to have nutrition. They're going to be able to upload their videos, their games, and the technology is going to break it down and put together assessment, a 90, 60, and 30-day workout program to get better. It's all-inclusive, NIL, everything, the complete package, guys. And we're going to roll this thing out next couple weeks. And it's going to be $25 in an app form a month.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It really does.
Guys.
Yeah. The access for kids, man, these days versus what we had growing up, it's crazy.
I like that better than my dad yelling at me. He's my little league coach, Carl.
It's night and day.
It is. Yeah. It is. Well, Sam, we're excited about that, man. We gotta talk more about that once that's out. Thank you so much again, man. Enjoy hitting the ball around and have a great weekend. Thank you again.
Hey, guys. You guys keep doing what you're doing. I listen to you guys every day. Y'all my favorite show.
Appreciate
Thanks, Coach.
You, man.
He's the man.
That is Sam Mitchell. Brings up some valid points. Look, I don't want to use, and I said this to Turtle yesterday, like this destiny thing, because it's
Team
a lot
of destiny.
But what Sam's saying is They ain't going to have no answers to this.
Well, that's the physical nature of the Knicks. That's one thing we like. The argument pre-finals was they didn't play anybody. Well, they went through everything like poop through a goose because they're that much better than everybody. Mm. You know, and maybe Mike Brown was the perfect guy after Thibodeau, and Thibodeau had gone as far. Remember, we all thought Dolan was. No, look, they didn't have a plan, if we're honest, when they fired Thibodeau, didn't renew his contract.
No, they did
not. But they wound up striking gold. They stepped in a turd and came out smelling like a rose with Mike Brown.
Hey, man, when we come back, who's the snitch? Find out. It's Dukes and Bell.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell hanging out on a Friday. It's Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys. Thanks to Sam Mitchell for stopping by. Mike and I were just talking off air about the dominant Knicks, and it's funny because everybody said, you know, they did. They didn't play anybody in the East. Well, look, if they go up 2-0 tonight, everybody be shy. Like, right. Does that even matter?
Well, again, you could argue it's not the Knicks' fault the Celtics couldn't handle their water with the Sixers. Right, so the Red Sea parted. Look, I would love to have seen a Tatum healthy and what that Knicks Celtics matchup would have been.
Yes.
That sure looked like a 7-game series, but they couldn't get it done. You know, and now the Celtics get their own little soap opera. Sixers and Embiid was only going to be healthy for one or two games in that series at best. Donovan Mitchell, I thought, you know, he did everything possible. Harden disappeared, and Kenny Atkinson was a moron. So not the Knicks' fault, right? Just like we said when the Hawks won all those games down the stretch, not our fault the schedule was easy. We didn't lose those games. We won those games we're supposed to.
You play who's in front of you, and that's laid out long before you get there. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. I just think in these big moments, you either step up or you don't. And here's the thing we're learning about the Spurs. We'll find out tonight. Unlike the Knicks, Mike, who have a closer in Brunson, I don't know what the Spurs do. The Wimby thing is one aspect of it, but like when you need a guy to finish a game for you, everybody just expects that to be Wimby. We're going to see if he's got that in the NBA finals.
But think about it. I mean, Brunson's off the floor. That's where the Spurs need to should be up by double digits, and the Knicks can't catch up. Knicks have showed some tremendous poise in battling back, and you know, we talked about it. It's going to be a hell of a I don't think they sweep the Spurs, but it'd be a hell of a story that the Hawks are the only guys to beat the Knicks
these guys
in the 26th postseason.
It would be nuts. Hey, man, we're going to find out what's on Day Day's mind on this Friday, but we need to get to 4th and 1. Last time we were talking about Baker Mayfield was when he put that tweet out to Kevin Stefanski. Looking forward to it, coach. He says he didn't get the support when he was in Cleveland from Stefanski. Stefanski downplayed it and said, look, enjoyed coaching Baker. He was great. No hard feelings. Looking forward to seeing him. Now, Mike, Baker Mayfield with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is in the middle of a contract discussion, and he says it's not going anywhere.
Contract stuff, it's happening. It's starting, the talks and whatnot, but not anywhere close to what, you know, we were thinking. So would love to be here long term. And as of right now, that's not exactly the case. But I'm under contract for 2026. And the guys in that locker room, the staff know that I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to do everything I can to help this team win a Super Bowl. And that's, to me, that's the priority. Everything else to take care of itself. Obviously, yes, I would love to have a long term deal done. But they know my deadline is, as soon as training camp starts, we're not doing any contract stuff. It's all ball. So it's not up to me when that gets done by. But so hopefully before that. If not, we're still going to have a good year.
Now, the knock on Baker was when he was young, he was immature, and he would be selfish, and he'd pop off, and he'd say just dopey stuff. Yeah, that's still a bit, you know, there's other guys at this stage of their career. Let the agent handle that.
Sure.
And you say, I'll let the agent handle that.
That's right.
In Tampa. And, you know, I think we both met him, and he's a lot more likable guy. I think we should get to know his story. But still, I think you could have taken the high road in that one, but he put it out there.
Yeah, look, he lives, well, one of the places, because all these guys who have money live where they want. But he's got a place on Lake Travis in Austin, Mike, and I got friends who live there, and they love Baker. He's a nice guy. You know, the whole OU Texas thing was because he wanted to go to Texas.
Right.
They didn't want him. He ends up at OU, has a great career. And for him, he's always played with this chip on his shoulder.
Right.
That's what
drives him.
That's what you're hearing. You're hearing, and maybe Tampa might use this to their advantage. I don't know if they lowballed him, but he's like, that's not even close to what we thought the offer should be. Maybe this is the motivating factor for him. It's always been something. Baker, you're too small. Baker, you don't have the strong enough arm. Baker, you can't win. You won't be the number one pick. He's overcome all this stuff. So, look, I don't know what kind of season he's going to have, but if I'm Tampa, I'm not giving him a deal right now.
No. And I think there's a ceiling also. I think for all the things we said about Baker, there is a ceiling with him. I think he throws too many turnovers. I think he that's one thing that has been an issue. Don't forget, this could be going sideways with him and Zach Robinson.
Sure.
Now, when he did have like a day to learn the playbook, it worked out pretty well for Baker when he was with the Rams. But Zach, that's still Sean McVay. Zach was like third man, you know, in that mix.
Correct.
When Baker was there. But we'll see how Zach works with him in Tampa. But he did say before the part about the contract that he does love the community, said all the right things there. They've embraced us, enjoyed being here. Our buddy Rick Stroud was talking to him when he made that soundbite. But it will be interesting because they're a team which still has, I got to be honest, a lot of studs. They've had a good draft class. You don't replace a star, a Hall of Famer like Mike Evans, but they do have a lot of weapons, man.
That they do. A.J. Brown, who's the snitch, Mike?
Who's the snitch? Nobody likes a rat.
A.J. Brown said he leaked info in Philly last year to motivate the team.
What?
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, you were disgruntled. We knew you weren't happy. But now he comes out and says, yeah, I was leaking information about what was going on to try to motivate guys. What? What happened to keeping stuff in-house?
Yeah, and what happened when they asked you about, hey, I heard there was a leader, offensive leaders meeting. Basically, you, Saquon, and Jalen.
Didn't happen.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, look, you know what? Take back all the nice things I said about him Wednesday. I was off yesterday. But he is a diva. That's diva stuff. You know, you can't talk out of both sides of your noggin. You know, that's very diva-esque. Like, I think it's I gave him all the credit in the world for, you know, trying to bite his lip, knowing that he's being underutilized in that offense. They spent a good money on him. And the vertical passing game was non-existent because Jalen Hurts just can't seem to get the ball down the field to him. But, yeah, why were you doing that? Does that help your situation?
I don't know. Here's
in a city like Philadelphia?
Here's AJ admitting to the leaks.
It was done purposely to give us a push. I know if I say something in the media, I know it's going to propel us to work on it. If you say what you need to say in the media, which I won't do that anymore, mm-hmm. It gives everything legs mm-hmm. and legs to push and to push everybody to be better. Because pressure isn't always a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, too. Honestly, I feel like it was okay to do because we had guys in the locker room who were men.
See, as he said, yes, most guys would just simply have a conversation. Be a leader on the team.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to be a players only thing, but you can get the message out in the locker room. Most guys don't think you should play it out in the media. That's why they don't like when managers in baseball or coaches and other sports play things out in the media, which is kind of a no-no in the locker room.
Yeah,
strange.
This is basically a mixed message from him because
it's passive aggressive.
Very much so. And here's the other part. Like, you basically were crying about not getting the ball, but yet you're leaking stuff about other guys and situations to help motivate them. It just makes no sense to me.
That's jive. And look, I've never understood how Sirianni has survived, but the guy won a Super Bowl. His coach didn't.
He did.
You know, and whether or not, you know, there was a brain drain when he lost some of his assistant coaches. But it's amazing that this thing, this soap opera has been. Now you heard it was a left tackle. Couple other players, they had his back because they like him. They know what a talent he is. But a lot of guys saying, look, I'm just glad this is over with. I'm sure there's a big whew, in that locker room. But tell me where that production's coming from. Mekhi Lemon's going to be that guy?
Well, they got
Devontae
guys.
Smith? I don't know. Sometimes it seems like when we watched the Eagles last year, when the game was on the line, Dallas Goedert was the guy.
Yeah, look, I think
came up with the big play.
But I think Devontae comes into being the number one wide receiver there. And a lot of people think he's talented enough. He just hasn't been able to show as much because of that whole A.J. Brown. We got to get him the ball. It became the narrative.
Well, I mean, it's one thing. It's just like it was moments where he's got to be the blow the top off and he's there, but Jalen Hurts just doesn't. When you have the video that a fan can see where he's open and Jalen Hurts doesn't see him.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you got to get your coaches, and we got to, and there's a way to have the message without embarrassing your, unless it happens so often that AJ says, screw it. You know, I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to talk about it in the media.
They're talent, the Eagles.
And that's
are.
Why him and Jalen went.
Eagles are talented enough to get back to a Super Bowl, guys. They're in that bubble of teams that should be there. What's up with the Bears? Nothing with the team, but the new stadium is in jeopardy. The Bears board of directors voted to advance the stadium development in Hammond, Indiana.
In the middle of an industrial park.
That's not Chicago.
This was like, now remember, Atlantic Station was a super site to clean up. You know, we did get the EPA involved. You can clean stuff up. But when you look at this area where they're going to put the stadium, I mean, you and I have talked about it. You ever driven from Chicago to Notre Dame? I mean, it's like, damn, the Jackson 5 grew up here? Like down the street in Gary. But it's... I still think it's a play by the Bears to get more leverage out of the state legislature in Illinois.
I do, too.
To have their stadium either on the lake or over there in Arlington Heights.
Look, J.B. Pritzker is the governor. They have tried to work out deals as far as negotiating with the Bears. And this is not done. But this is one of those major steps where you go, well, I've never even heard the Bears board of directors voting on something. Because they don't. This is the first time it's happened where they've come. And, again, they've had – you know, Soldier Field, which, by the way, if you've never been, is an amazing venue. I know it needs to be updated. But Mike and I have said this. Tear it down and put the new stadium right there. It would be great. It's a perfect location. It's easy to get in and out of. The backdrop of Chicago. But, look, they're trying to get a deal, Mike, just like everybody else. And so when you talk about the land and the money it's going to take, they're going to use this negotiating ploy.
Yeah, it's, again, Hammond, world-class stadium in Hammond, Indiana.
Sure.
Now, again, it's the same thing. When I was a kid, as a Giants fan, the idea that you're going to go to New Jersey to watch the Giants was like, are you out of your mind? But you had to cross a river to do that. This is a little bit easier. Just going down south side, you go past Comiskey Park, and you're over there.
All right, man. Coming up, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti on the same page, finally. We'll tell you more about that. It's Dukes and Bell on a Friday.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
On baseball is 92.9 The Game, guys. Grant McCauley on Sundays all season long. Join him from the diamond is the show. It's a comprehensive look at the Braves, Major League Baseball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home at markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. Sundays on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Mike and I will give away the next and last staycation comfort giveaway, at least on air, okay? You still have a chance to go to the website, 92.9 The Game, and register there. But last day today, and we're going to give this away here between now and 6, so stay tuned.
Okay.
Again, $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and a free cooling system tune-up. All compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. With that, Day-Day, what is going on, man? Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, guys. Hope you guys are down there behaving yourselves.
So far.
Maybe. Okay. Shout out, by the way, to a couple schools represented. We got the U over here. I guess they're okay. Chase and Jerry. Jerry's originally from Jamaica, man.
All right.
Yeah, man. And also, shout out to Jordan, who's in his car right now, just left, a big Tennessee Vol fan. And as he
was
said,
that the guy next came in? Okay.
Yep.
Came, right.
Took a picture, dapped you up, took a picture. I was telling about my time up there watching T. Martin win the national championship because my girl at the time was from Tennessee. And he goes, yeah, I didn't get that experience in Tennessee.
Well, Mike, we talked
about – he had Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach.
Oh, that was a disaster.
And we all know how that went.
Well, we talked about this briefly yesterday, and I said to Day-Day, I don't know where this goes, but the Haslams have given Tennessee
100 million.
$150 million.
Right.
And I said, where is a majority of that money going to go? Now, we can guess, but my first guess is football program.
See, this is where we get to Georgia Tech. For all you guys who go back to wherever you came from, whether it's here in Atlanta or around the world, to give like a nice $10 million gift to the engineering department is very important. It obviously makes Tech one of the best schools in the world. Give that money to the football or basketball program and see what happens.
Or at least split it, right?
Right, because one of the things that happened with Georgia is Georgia football got better. Guess what? Guess what? Tuition went up, involved people wanting to go to Georgia more. Folks were interested. It's the number one billboard, Carl, for the school itself. It's the football program.
Yep.
All right.
Sorry, Day-Day.
Now that I'm taking care
of housekeeping, back to you.
Yeah. So for our Friday Five, I felt like we should have a little bit of fun. And it's called The Choice Is Yours. What is your favorite? Honestly, I'm not quite sure how I got on this and came up with this idea. It could have had something to do with the salted caramel whiskey I was sipping on. But here we go.
Salty caramel whiskey.
So I'm going to give you, we've got five different, well, six, if we can get to all of them. But okay. I'm going to give you like these different categories, I guess you would say.
All right.
They have similar names, but you can only choose one and which one would be your favorite of
all
them,
right.
If that makes sense. You got
it? Bring it.
Follow me. All right, so this is a simple one. We'll start off easy. Chili dogs, chili fries, or chili burger?
Me first, bro?
Yeah, bro.
Chili dogs. Sucking on a chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze. Yeah, man, chili dogs.
Yeah.
I love a good chili dog.
I'm with Mike on this. I don't dig chili burgers.
Too much stuff.
What?
It's too sloppy. It's too messy.
No.
You got how many napkins am I using?
Yeah,
that's
forget
why
about
you
it.
Eat them. There's something to eating and being sloppy.
Chili dog,
speak
Joe.
For yourself, Day-Day. Chili fries. Chili fries.
Yeah.
For me, I'm with Mike. I love chili dogs, but I'd say chili fries.
You know who had the best chili dogs?
Who's that?
Winky Dinky Dog.
Now I'm with you, Carl. I do like a good serving of chili fries, but the fries gotta be right. Like
Okay, crispy.
Yeah, they gotta be crispy. I don't like loosey goosey fries.
They gotta be crisp.
They gotta be crisp. Now I will say this. In high school, it sucked as a football player because you could never get it, but they always had once the weather turned. They had chili cheese Fritos.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
mix,
by the way,
baby.
I maintain a lot of street cred eating the chili cheese Fritos. That's what you're saying, Carl. It's my thing. When I pick those up at the Publix in Tyrone and they're in my bag, I get the nod. There's a brother walking the other way now. I get the nod.
Frito pie.
I got street cred.
Frito pie, Day-Day. Friday nights, that's the key, man.
Yeah,
Friday night,
man.
Frito pie, man. I'm
with
you.
Yep. All right, this next one, if Dylan was in here with us, I already know what his answer would be.
Oh.
Drake Baldwin? Drake London or Drake the artist?
You talking about Dylon?
Dylon.
Mm. All right.
Wow, this is a tough one. I mean, upside is Drake London. Drake Baldwin is the new news. I'm going to go with Drake Baldwin because right now he's just a professional hitter. He's the reigning National League Rookie of the Year. And when he gets back from this oblique, which is driving me crazy, hopefully he doesn't pick up. I'll lose anything. Carl picks up where he left off. I'm going to go with Drake Baldwin.
Okay. I'm with that because he's having a great year despite
the
setback.
I love them both because Drake, everything we said yesterday and all week about Drake with the contract, Carl, toughness, leader, does the run blocking, makes the challenging catch. But right now I'm going to give the edge to Drake Baldwin.
So it was 2 weeks ago, Day-Day. Mm-hmm. I know Dylon would know this. Maybe it was when Drake released all three of those albums.
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks now, maybe three.
Okay, so he owned the internet for like, what, 72 hours? Where everybody was downloading the albums and listening and all that, right?
Yeah.
And I guess my question to Dylon would be, since he would choose Drake, we're talking about the artist, okay,
right.
Is he back?
No.
Did he do enough on these three albums? Is he back?
I don't think so because I don't hear much talk.
Okay.
That's me, though. Dylon would probably tell us something completely different. In fact, Dylon's probably up somewhere painting a billboard saying Drake is back.
Look, I like...
Really? Dylon's a big Drake guy?
I like some of the songs. I've not heard all three albums in their entirety. Mm-hmm. I like some of the songs. I give Drake credit. He's created blah, blah, blah. But let me get back to your question because I'm not choosing Drake, Dylon. I'm going to choose Drake London.
Ooh.
London just got his contract. What is this season going to be for Drake London? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because our man Brian McFadden stopped by and he said, look, guys, they're paying him for what he's about to do. Not what he's done, because they know what his situation and circumstances have been with a couple of busted quarterbacks, and he still put up numbers. I'm with him. I think they have basically said, we're paying you as a top five receiver because we think that's what you are, and he's about to have a hell of a year and beyond. I'm going to go with Drake London.
Yeah, this one was a tough one for me between Drake Baldwin and Drake London, not Drake the artist. Sorry, Dylan. But I'm kind of leaning towards Drake London. It's just something about his demeanor, guys, whenever we were out there at training camp last year.
He's a dog, man.
Yeah, it's just he's just a mean. That good football mean that you need, he's got that, man. So I'm with you on that one.
Baldwin's a hockey player, and he's tough as nails, and he's a great hitter. I'm sticking with Drake Baldwin.
No,
I'm sticking
with that's a good call, too, though. Yeah. That's why I did this, because I don't think there's really a wrong answer. All right, this next one should be fun. Scottie Pippen, Scottie Scheffler, or Montgomery Scottie Scott?
Okay. Wow. Well, the problem with Scottie, let's just work backwards, Carl. The problem with Scottie is, you know, if we're honest, that's Mr. Scott we're talking about?
No. Scottie. Yeah, Mr. Scott, yes.
Yeah. The engine room never worked.
Yes.
It was always a big hassle. You know, like, you know, Kirk would go down there like, beep, like, Scotty, I need warp speed in 5 minutes, we're all dead. You're like, Captain, we don't have the lithium crystals. The engine won't take full warp, sir. I mean, it was always like a giant, like, wait a minute. Like,
it was.
You know,
it was. So, it never was. He went to Scotty and Scotty said, done.
Right. And, you got it, Captain Moretti. Now, granted, Kirk, in his defense, it wasn't Scotty's decision not to have shields up when Khan blasted the hell out of it in Star Trek II. There's only so much the man can work with, Carl. But I digress. I know Scotty Scheffler is easy right now to be prisoner of the moment. I will make a case for the much maligned, because he's kind of a jerk off the court and not many people like him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Scottie Pippen. Mm-hmm. Jordan doesn't win those titles without Scottie Pippen. You've got to have that wingman. We always now, the Batman-Robin thing is always a thing now, and Scottie Pippen was so good defensively, Carl.
Yeah,
I mean, such a great player both ways for the Bulls. So I'll go for the much often maligned and forgotten Scottie Pippen.
What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
I knew you were going to say that.
Come on,
I knew you were taking it.
Come on, man. Yeah. Scottie Scheffler, what are we talking about? Look, the deal is, yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw this, they're playing up in Murfield, I believe it is, and he hits, I think it was a 7-iron.
The memorial.
Yes, and it goes into the water. He's going in on his caddy.
On that par 3. Yeah.
He's going in like, what happened? I just hit a really good 7. And anyways, he's not playing necessarily well, but guys, it wouldn't surprise me. U.S. Open is 2 weeks. Be surprised if Scottie Scheffler wins the U.S. Open. But I'm going to say Scottie Scheffler. Look, Pippen was great. Scottie Scheffler right now is still the best golfer in the world, and he's been that. I know Rory's been on top of things. But, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
He took a double bogey on that par 3 16.
It was brutal.
And he was talked about it. Everybody made the news. I was off yesterday. But, yeah, everyone was like, wow, he just went like postal on his caddy.
Well, he's just standing. It was very un-Scotty-like, right? Because he hits the shot, and his caddy's walking in front of him, and they're talking, and he's like, I can't hear anything you're saying.
Right.
What are you talking about? Like, he's going in, and everybody's like, Scotty, you're on television.
But for guys who don't play golf and think it's just a jerk move, and no, there's some guys, and he later apologized for it, but it's the distance. You know, you've got when you see them look at their little notebooks, you and I just hit, okay, I get my viewfinder, okay, 170, okay, I'm going to hit my 3-wood. You know, don't know it's going to get over the water.
Right.
They're a little more dialed in, but that's why he went off like he did. Caddy gave him bad information. I guess it is mine.
All right, I guess I'll be the one lame and take Montgomery Scottie Scott, because I just felt like he always, even though it didn't work initially, he always came through in the clutch.
He always fixed it.
And then
he
later played by Simon Pegg when they relaunched the Star
Trek.
He did.
All right, this next one should be interesting. Jalen Johnson, Jalen Walker, Jalen Carter.
I'm betting on the come. Ooh. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I think Jalen Walker is going to be that dude. I think, you know, a bad rookie season, 5 sacks, it's not a bad rookie season.
No.
You know, you consider he only played 400 snaps. And I just think Jalen Walker this year with Ulbrich. Now, Carl, you could argue, we don't know what the defined role is as linebacker. Are you going to take over for Divine Diablo as he takes over for Caden Ellis? But I expect big things from Jalen Walker. So I'm betting on something that hasn't happened yet. I'm going Jalen Walker.
Look, it's easy for Falcon fans to have revisionist history. Jalen Carter got drafted to already a really good team,
right,
a really good defense. And he did his part. Ultimately, helps them win a Super Bowl. But let's talk about these.
And he's surrounded by rock stars on both sides
everywhere.
And behind him.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Here's the deal. You know, we always talk about where you get drafted. If Jalen Carter went to the last place team, his career trajectory would probably look different. He could still be a great player.
It might take him a couple years to get to another team to get to that Super Bowl.
And
Jalen Carter, by the way, he is – you talk about effort and a force multiplier, and it takes two guys to handle him. I mean, he is no one debates.
Yeah.
I think we always said at the time, two things can be true. Bijan and Jalen can both be the man.
But I'm not going to choose Jalen because he doesn't play here. I'm going to choose Jalen Johnson.
Mm.
Now, this is tough because I am still disappointed. I got to get over it at some point, and Jalen, I will. But I'm still disappointed in what I saw in Game 6. And maybe it was just like a complete blank show, right, where everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But the one thing that Jalen has to show us next season is it's more than just about whether his game is on point. I remember leaving the arena that night and seeing my man, the commissioner here, Commissioner Gordon, who produces the games for Mike Conte and Steve Holman. And we walked out, and I caught eye contact. And the eye contact with Gordon was the same. It was, what the hell did we just see, and what was that? And it starts with your best player. Jalen was the best player all year, and then we got into playoffs in this Knicks series, and he wasn't the best player. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but, yeah, man, he's got to show us that toughness that we need to see next year moving forward.
All right, last one. Let's get out of here with this one. Billy D. Williams.
What?
Billy D. Williams, Billy Joel, or Billy Jean?
Ooh. Wow. All right. I'll be the square guy. I'll be the white cop on Sanford and Son. Hello, Mr. Sanford. As a kid growing up, I love Billy D. My favorite Billy D. Williams movie is Nighthawks with Sylvester Stallone. It's the kind of movie that Stallone should have kept making, but Stallone looked in the mirror and says,
action.
I like what I see. But looking like a freakish, 8-pack abs guy that became Rambo. One of Stallone's last great regular guy movies was Nighthawks, a believable action movie with a regular Joe.
Yeah.
But Billy Joel was my childhood. Great music, great live guy. And speaks to me, because that's Long Island. Springsteen speaks to New Jersey. Billy Joel speaks to Long Island. So for me, never seen a bad Billy Joel show. His HBO documentary on him, it's pretty telling, too. Very revealing. He drinks like a fish, but I'm still going with Billy Joel.
Okay.
Billy, that's my Billy.
All right, fair enough. Great artist. If I put on Billy Jean right now at Twin Peaks.
Everybody goes.
Everybody goes ham.
Yeah.
It still hits. And it hits for 20-somethings, it hits for 30-somethings, it hits for 40-somethings. The uniqueness of the music of Michael Jackson still plays. And the movie's telling us that. Worldwide, you see what the numbers are worldwide? Mm-hmm. Billions of dollars. So and it's for a biopic, by the way. But for everybody who's seen the movie, everybody talks about the musical journey. That was enjoyable. I'm going to go Billie Jean, man. I was in the car the other day, and it just happened. I had the thing on shuffle. And it came on, and I'm in the car. I felt like, I can do this.
Yeah, man. It was your child. That's also part of the childhood, too, man. You're right. Yeah. Play that at a wedding. Play it anywhere. G Money was just at this big hip hop show up in Philly. You could be anywhere. You put that on, Carl. You're right. It's a reaction.
Well, hard to argue against either one of your Billies, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going Williams because when Empire Strikes Back came out, I was like, oh, my gosh, black people in space.
Blacks in space.
Day-Day, you weren't the only one.
That's my Friday Five, guys. Mm. That's what's on my mind.
Me and Carl always joke around about Nighthawks when they got Wolfgar, played by Rickerhauer, and he grabs a woman on the subway, and he's using her as a shield. And Stallone's a good shot. He's a marksman. And Billy T. Carl over his shoulder, take the shot. Take it. And then later Billy gets cut. You should have taken the shot, Deke. We use that every time. Give me any Hawks game we're at. Take the shot.
Yeah, man.
Shoot it.
Hey, you want a chance right now to win this staycation comfort giveaway? We're doing it right now. Reliable Heating and Air, which includes a $150 gas card, $150 grocery gift card, and free cooling system tune-up. All compliments of Reliable Heating and Air. Let's go. Caller number
9-4-4-7-2-6-0-9-2-9.
Caller number 9-4-4-7-2-6-0-9-2-9. You're going to win this staycation comfort giveaway for courtesy of Reliable Heating and Air.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.